This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus is the reason for the season. So I thank you that what's being taught today, that it will go down on the inside of our soul, our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that Lord, truly, this word will be a word that will liberate us, change us, encourage us, and strengthen us. And I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to come in and help us know what's in the mind of the Father. And Lord, I thank you in advance for signs, miracles, and wonders following your word, because you always watch over to perform it. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I've been using the last few Sundays of December to share messages that I believe will help us prepare to exit 2024 and successfully enter 2025. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to get ready. And so the last message I did was called Faith for the Unexpected. And so I want you to go back and watch that if you missed it, especially if something unexpectedly has happened in your life since the message. As a matter of fact, if you saw the message or if you were here for the message, and something unexpectedly has happened since then, I want you to go back and watch it again so your faith can be strengthened. Amen. So today I want to share a message entitled, Why Are You Lingering? So just look at somebody and ask them, why are you lingering? Now this is one of those messages that have been brewing in my spirit for almost a month now. And so my prayer is that this message will spiritually agitate you, and it'll do it enough for you to move beyond where you are and allow God to navigate you into faith territory. Sometimes we need a little agitation. Do you know clothes can't be cleaned unless they're agitated? Well, I'm praying that this message will agitate you enough so that you'll move beyond where you are, so that God can navigate you into faith territory. Because many of you may not realize it, but you're living in the faith, in the safe zone and not the faith zone. So let me give you the background of the message today. The background is this story, and it's starting with Abraham. Abraham had two angels to come and visit him. When they came to visit him, they pretty much came to tell him that him and his wife were going to have a son. And so as they began to talk to him about that, after the conversation, God decided to share with Abraham what he was about to do regarding a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. There was so much wickedness going on in that city that God decided he was going to destroy it. So he shared this information with Abraham. And what's interesting is Abraham decided to negotiate with God. Now, I don't know about you, but it takes a lot of boldness to negotiate with God. So Abraham began to negotiate with God. And he started by saying, you know what, God, if there are 50 righteous people in that city, will you not destroy it? And God said, okay, I won't destroy it for 50. So he kept going. He went from 50 to 40 to 30. He came all the way down to 10. And so God said to Abraham, I will not destroy the city if there are 10 righteous people in it. Which says, listen now, living right makes a difference. You know, the New Testament even tells us that a righteous wife can sanctify the unsaved or unrighteous husband. And so right living makes a difference. Everybody say right living makes a difference. I love Psalm 84:11 because it tells us, the latter part of that verse says, no good thing will God withhold, watch this, from those who walk uprightly. The New Living Translation says, the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Just look at your neighbor and say, you need to do what's right. Listen to the voice translation. It says, God doesn't deny any good thing to those who will live with integrity. So God told Abraham, I will not destroy this city if there are at least 10 righteous people. Well, evidently God could not find 10 righteous people, so he decided to destroy the city. That's pretty bad for a whole city to not have 10 righteous people. So now we're going to pick up the story in Genesis 19, because these same angels that was talking to Abraham were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to talk to Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. So we're picking up the story in Genesis 19, verses 1. It says, and the two angels, I'm starting in the King James, and then I'm going to switch over to the New Living Translation. The King James says, and there came two angels to Sodom at the evening. Watch this now. This is going to be important as we go on. And Lot sat where, church? He sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them rose up. And so he rose up to meet him, and he bowed himself down to the ground. Now, Genesis 19, I'm going to start reading in verse 1 in the New Living Translation. It says, that evening, two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. Lot was sitting there. And when he saw them, he stood up to meet them. Then he welcomed them, and he bowed with his face to the ground. He said, my lords, come to my home so that I can wash your feet and you can be my guests for the night. You may then get up early in the morning and be on your way again. They said, oh no, we'll just spend the night out here in the city square. But Lot insisted, so at last they went home with him. Lot prepared a feast for them, complete with fresh bread made without yeast, and they ate. Notice now, angels have the ability to eat. So watch this now. Verse 4 says, but before they retired for the night, all of the men of Sodom, young and old, they came from all over the city and surrounded Lot's house. They shouted to Lot, where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out to us so we can have sex with them. That's crazy, ain't it? Now, what's really bad is our society feels like that ought to be okay. So let me just put it on record. It is not okay to have same sex with the same gender. That is not okay. Just so you know. Okay? You can justify it all you want to. God wouldn't have made me this way. He wouldn't make me be this way and feel this way if I wasn't born this way. Well, you can't go by how you feel. Because sometimes I feel like murdering people. I can't do it though. You know that show Murder, She Wrote? It would have been Murder, He Wrote. Okay. So watch this. So Lot stepped outside to talk to them. He shut the door behind him. He said, please, my brothers, he begged, don't do such a wicked thing. Look, I have two virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them whatever you wish. That's crazy too. But it shows how you can be in an environment, and that environment contaminates you. Watch now. He says, but leave these men alone, for they are my guests, and they are under my protection. And then verse 9, these men said, stand back. This fellow came to town as an outsider, and now he's acting like he's our judge. We'll treat you far worse than those other men. They lunged toward Lot to to break down the door. But the two angels reached out and pulled Lot into the house and they bolted the door. And then they blinded all the men, young and old, who were at the door of the house. And so they gave up trying to get inside. Meanwhile, the angels questioned Lot. Do you have any other relatives here in this city? He says, get them out of this place. Your sons-in-law, your sons, your daughters, or anyone else. That's interesting because he has sons-in-law, but apparently those men had not had sex with his daughters. I wonder what that makes them. We'll leave that alone. He said, watch this now, verse 13, this is very crucial. For we are about to destroy this city completely. The outcry against this place is so great, it has reached the Lord and he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés, quickly, get out of the city. The Lord is about to destroy it. But the young men thought he was only joking. And so at the dawn of the next morning, the angels came and they insisted, hurry, they said to Lot, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now. Everybody say, get out. Right now. Have you seen that movie, Get Out? He said, get out right now or you will be swept away at the destruction of the city. Watch verse 16. Here's where I get my title. It says, when Lot still what? What did he do, church? He hesitated. Now the King James Version says, and while Lot lingered. So look at your neighbor one more time and say, are you lingering? So while Lot hesitated, while he lingered, the angel seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city. But the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered them, run for your lives and don't. Come on, church, say it again. Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. Now, here's what I want to do before I jump into the message. Let's define what lingering is, because many of you are lingering and you don't know it. When you look that word lingered up, it means to question. It means to hesitate. It means to delay and to be reluctant. Now, when you, I asked AI, hey, what's the definition of lingered? Here's the definition that AI gave me. It means to stay in a place longer than necessary. Typically, watch this, because of a reluctance to leave or because of a desire to delay. So listen to the Boyce translation of Genesis 19:16, and then we're going to jump right into this. It says, but Lot kept procrastinating. So here's the question that I have, church. Why did Lot linger? Why did Lot stay in a place that he was not supposed to be? What made Lot hesitate or question whether he should stay at a place that God was going to destroy? Here's the bigger question. Why do we linger? Look at your neighbor and say, he's coming down your street right now. Because you're like, nah, I can't believe Lot was lingering. I can't believe, well, I can't believe you lingering. Why do we linger? What makes us stay in situations, maintain certain relationships, hold on to negative mindsets, negative attitudes, or negative beliefs, which only produces pain? Why do we linger there? Why are we holding on to people, places, and things that God is wanting us to move on from? Why are we lingering in our past when it produces pain in our present and causes uncertainty for our future? Why are you lingering? Well, here's point number one if you want to take some notes, and that is we linger, watch this, because deception keeps you. Because familiarity is feeding you. I'm going to say that again. Deception keeps you because familiarity is feeding you. You say, well, Pastor, how did you get that out of the text? Well, I'm going to show you. In other words, what I'm saying is deception's strength lies in the place of comfort, control, and familiarity. You say, well, how does that relate to Lot? Because Lot, here's the question. Why did he hesitate to stay in a place God wanted to destroy? Well, let's go back to Genesis 19 and I'll show you. In verse 1 it says, and there came two angels to Sodom in the evening, and it says, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now see, what you may not know is that in those days, sitting at the gate of the city was often a sign of authority, a sign of influence, a sign of leadership. In other words, the city gates was typically a place where a hub of business and, watch this, social activity took place. So you couldn't be at the gate of the city unless you were somebody. In fact, let me prove it to you, because the Bible describes the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman. When it talks about her in Proverbs 31, it gives us a snippet of what this woman's husband was like. Proverbs 31, 23 in the New Living Translation, well, in the King James says this, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Listen to the New Living Translation. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. So obviously there was a reason Lot was hesitating. Maybe one of those reasons that he was lingering is because he had positioned in the city and he didn't want to leave it. Maybe he had a level of power or authority or influence, and this is what was causing him to hesitate. And see, this happens to many people. Because, for example, touch your neighbor and say, this is only an example. Now look at your other neighbor and say, but he's talking to somebody though. Go on and tell him. See, this happens to people. You've worked for this company for years, but you're miserable. And so in the name of comfort, in the name of familiarity, in the name of I'm comfortable, you would rather stay in a place and be miserable than to follow God's leading and have joy. Familiarity is why some people never leave. Watch this. Their childhood churches. You'd be surprised how many people I talk to after service who come and they visit and I'm talking to them and I ask, and they love the experience. They love the word. They love our church. They love what they experience, right? But listen, but they struggle because they don't want the hassle of leaving their childhood church because they don't want to have to deal with their family. Some people stay in dating relationships because they put so much time into it. Man, I don't want to lose the time that I had. I don't want to lose the money that I done put into this. I don't want to start over. So you know what you do? You linger. Amen. You'd rather stay where God has left. Lot was more concerned about his physical status than his spiritual condition. Because lingering eats away at your spiritual condition. So, what makes deception work so well? Because deception, see, you're not deceived until you're deceived. And deception works because you don't know you under it. Deception is like bad breath. You don't know you got it. Lot looks like he was choosing possessions and position over purpose. So what makes deception work? Well, let me ask you a question. What would make a person stay in a place they're not supposed to be? What would make a person maintain a negative attitude that they have? What would make a person hold on to a negative experience called trauma? Why would they do that instead of forgetting those things which are behind and pressing? Which brings us to point number two. Here's why people do that. It's because a double mind keeps me behind. Now, here's the wonderful thing about a message like that, like this. I don't expect you to say amen. But why does deception work? It works because a person who's deceived doesn't realize they have a double mind. And a double mind will keep you behind. The fact, listen to this, church, the fact that Lot hesitated shows that he had two sets of thoughts. He was thinking about what the angel said to him while he was referencing what he had already knew about what he were, where he was and what he was doing. He had a double mind, and a double mind will always keep you behind. Why? Because a double mind never allows you to gain traction. You take two steps forward and you end up three steps back. You know why? Because a double mind will not let you have traction. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Evan? Because a double mind makes you unstable. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, a double-minded man, read it with me, church, is unstable in some of his ways. Whoa. A double mind doesn't just impact your social interaction. It doesn't just impact your job. It doesn't just impact your family. It doesn't just impact your marriage. It impacts, you become unstable in all of your ways. Listen to James chapter 1 verse 8 in the Amplified. I love this. It says, and this is about being a double-minded person, a double-minded man is unstable and is restless in all of his ways. A double-minded person is unstable and restless in everything that he thinks and he feels or he decides. So until you get off the fence of double-mindedness, you will not be able to move forward with confidence or momentum, because it's hard to run in two different places at the same time. And this is why, listen, church, this is why Lot's wife looked back. Genesis chapter 19, we didn't read about her, but we're about to. Genesis 19, look in verse 16 in the New Living Translation. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and his hands of his wife and his two daughters. They rushed them to safety outside the city. And then verse 17, it says, and when they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, in other words, here are the instructions, run for your life and don't do what, church? Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. I'm dropping down now to verse 24 of the New Living Translation. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and the villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. Watch verse 26, church. But Lot's wife looked back. She looked back as she was following him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. What was back there that made his wife look back? What was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah that caused her to linger? That's a good question, ain't it? Maybe she had a boyfriend. What they call them these days? The sidekick? What do they call them? Huh? A side piece. Oh, yeah. Side piece. Maybe she had a side piece. Or maybe a side piece had her. Which one? Here's a take-home statement. Lingering will always cause you to look back. I ain't lingering. Why are you looking back? Amen. See, a double mind, or I'm going to say it this way, a double heart will always make you look back. See, a double mind is never satisfied with looking forward. It always wants to look back. It always wants to have a reference. It always pulls back information from what has happened. And the thing about looking back is, you always will have an excuse or reason that you did. Well, I'm this way because I can't help it because this happened. Well, so-and-so did this to me and that's why I'm this way. No, no, no. You that way because you choosing to be that way. And here's the thing. Excuses nullify the need for grace. Do you know God can't grace you to go through something if you always use an excuse of why you doing what you're doing? Listen to one of the people who was lingering. Watch this. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 59. I'm almost done. So, because I feel y'all, this is antsy right now. It's like, oh. Luke 9, 59, it says, and he said to, and this is Jesus talking. He said to another person, come follow me. The man agreed, but, everybody say but. But he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Watch verse 61. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but, everybody say but. See, the only way you're going to stop lingering is to get your butt out the way. Just look at somebody next to you and say, your butt is in the way. He said, Lord, I will find, Lord, I'll let go of this situation, but Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, listen church, this is so good. Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. Was your past that good that you want to use it as a reference point? Oh, you done forgot. See, because what happens, we get saved and we get spiritual amnesia. Amen. Your life ain't never been this good. But now, any little thing, well, Lord, I know you gave me this job, but they keep stealing my stapler. Look at your neighbor and say, get your butt out the way. Was your past so good that you're using it as a consistent reference point to help guide your future? Why are you lingering? I'm coming again. I'm coming. Look at your neighbor. Say, he coming. Why are you lingering in unforgiveness? Is the emotional state of unforgiveness better than walking in forgiveness and freedom? Why are you dragging the past along with you? Is it so that you can remember how things were, so you can protect yourself from where things might go? Say amen to that. Why are you lingering in the city called offense? I didn't know that was a city. You know why? Because you're the mayor. You're the mayor. Anything offends you. And what offended people don't know, that if you will examine your friends, they get offended easy too. They say a birds of a feather do what? Yep, people that are offended, just check your friends out. And you know what's bad is that it irritates you that they get offended so easy, but you that way too. Most people who linger don't realize that their faith can't work when you have a double mind. Because see, your heart doesn't know what to believe. When your mind is double, your faith doesn't know what direction to go. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any person lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it to all men freely and upbraid it not. And this wisdom will be given to him. Watch verse 6. It says, but let this person ask how? in faith. Don't waver, because he who wavers is like the wave of the sea. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, let not that man think that he or she is going to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because a double-minded man is what? So listen, church, if it is possible to ask in faith, it is also possible to ask and not be in faith. Which means now, a double mind keeps me from God's best. Say amen to that. So here's the question. We're boiling it down now. Here's the question. What is the key to getting out of a double mind? Because see, a double mind keeps you deceived. And deception causes you to linger in places and stay with people in situations that you shouldn't be in. Because see, some of you are waiting on a sign from God to let go. I'm talking to single people now. You're waiting from a sign to let go of a man you never should have held on to. Let me look in the camera. So how do you get out of a double mind? Here's point number 3. To get out of a double mind, you must value where you're going over where you are. I'm going to say that again. To get out of a double mind, you must value where you are over where, you must value where you're going over where you are. In other words, God's vision for your future must be bigger than the nightmare of your past. See, the children of Israel found themselves lingering. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 1, in the ESV translation, this is what happened to the children of Israel. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me. This was Moses talking. Watch what it says. And for many days, how many days? Many days we traveled around Mount Seir. And then the Lord said to me, which I believe the Lord is saying to you and me, you have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. You've been, the King James says, you have been circling this mountain too long. And some of you have been lingering too long. And you, God does not want you to move into 2025 with a lingering spirit. Because when you linger, you don't get God's best. Listen to Philippians chapter 3, and we're closing right here. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But watch what he says. Because I'm going to show you how to get out of a double mind. He said, but there's one thing I do. How many things? One thing that I do. Well, what's the one thing? How do you get out of a double mind? How do you move forward? How do you stop from lingering? He says, there's only one thing that you need to do. He says, you need to forget those things that are behind you. And then he says, when you forget those things which are behind you, then you can reach for those things which are before you, which says that I can't reach if I'm steady looking back. He says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I love that word forgetting. It says forgetting those things which are behind. If you notice the word forgetting, it doesn't say forget. It says forgetting. Now, you say, Pastor, I can't forget. I'm sorry. I can't forget what they did to me. I can't forget what I've been going through or what I went through. Well, that word forgetting, listen to what it means. It means to neglect. It means to no longer care or to no longer care about. He's not saying remove it from your mind that you don't remember it at all. That's not what he's saying. He's saying what you need to do to forget the things which are behind, you need to neglect them. You need to not care. Listen, because what happens is whenever you show care, because if you neglect something, you'll starve it. So here's a take-home statement. I forget when I press. See, you can't go in two directions at the same time. The only way to stop lingering is to make a decision that my eyes will only be focused on God's prize. The Bible says, I'm no good if I put my hand to the plow. In other words, I'm looking forward, but then I'm looking back. And see, what that really has reference to is back in those days, you know, we were dealing with people who were farmers. So if you plowed and you looked back, your lines would be crooked. And that's why a lot of people's lives are crooked. Because you're constantly looking back. And here's the bad thing about how you feel. Your feelings follow your looking. Forget those things which are behind. Neglect them. Don't care about them no more. And then he says, and press. Everybody say press. And what am I pressing? I'm pressing for the prize. In other words, I have to believe that what God has for me is way better than what has happened to me. This is why young people, if there are any in here, this is why you need to stay a virgin till you get married. Can all the adults say amen?
Amen?
Amen. We might not have done it, but we telling you to do it. Because you don't have nobody to compare nobody with. Because that's the problem in a lot of relationships. Our past experiences are holding us hostage. We can't have a full, great experience with who we are with because we got all these people we have to reference through. So, what do we do with the message today? Here's the application, and I'm closing. I'm giving you some change today. How do we apply this? You must value your future more than you do your past. How many people are paying for your past? They ain't got nothing to do with your past, but they paying for it. Amen. Why are your kids paying for how your stepdaddy treated you? It's affecting how you parent your kids. Because you were raised by a stepdaddy who didn't treat you right. Okay, let me flip the script. Yeah, that's right. Maybe you were raised with your daddy, but your stepmama didn't treat you good. And those feelings now are being transferred into how you parent. Why is your current pastor paying for the price of your last pastor? Why is your current church paying for what your last church did? Some of y'all, I ain't serving. Well, first of all, serving is for you. Let's start with that. Yeah. Because there are some benefits to serving. And if you decide not to do it, that's fine. I know it looks like you're punishing the church, but you're really punishing yourself. I ain't giving to no church. Well, that's fine. You can stay broke if you want to. You said, well, that's pretty bold, Pastor Evan. No, because there are benefits to giving. Do you know you can't even have a relationship without giving? You show me a relationship that stops giving, I'll show you a dead relationship. Amen. So the first thing is you have to value your future more than you do your past. And then number two is you must follow your faith and not your feelings. Because your feelings are going to want you to linger. Where are you lingering? That's a good question. So I just want you to do me one last favor. Look at your neighbor and ask him, where are you lingering? Do you know good memories can even be a trap? Do you know your last success can actually hinder you from future success? Because most people camp out where they're comfortable. And there are some people in the room with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm done. My question to you is, where are you lingering? Are you still lingering in the past to the point where it's impacting your present? Holy Spirit, I pray right now that whoever this message is for, they won't bypass it. They'll receive it. And I ask that you begin to help us see where we're lingering, and that we will value where you're taking us more than where we're coming from. And so I thank you for doing what only you can, doing spiritual surgery where it's necessary. That God, all of us will forget the things that are behind in 2024 and 2023 and 2022 and 2021. All the years that we'll forget those things which are behind, and we will press toward the things that you have ahead of us. Because God, what you have ahead of us far exceeds what we've ever experienced. And so I thank you for freeing us from lingering today in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever heads still bowed, if you died today and you're not sure you go to heaven, I want to...